हरिः
Interesting that the purport before them probably said, everyone should follow him only or his orders, and that will make all happy. Right? As long as we are in the material world, our duty is to follow the orders of the Lord. Right? So you're following the orders or him.
Yes.
Right? So him means you'll be following him as a person. Right? So that's why you're doing it, because you want to please him as a person. Right. Otherwise, then it will be just because it's his orders. It's right. It's the Dharma. Right. It's religion. It's the proper thing to do. So in the material world, at least that much has to be done. Yes.
And it's like Raganuga Vaidhi, or
yeah, you could say like that. But I mean, yes. But it's just a matter of how much one appreciates the personal aspect and how much one is just that he's the supreme and you have to follow the laws. If you don't, then things won't go so well. Right.
Yes.
Okay, so the bottom of 139. Srila Sutta Goswami continued, the clever Duryodhana and his party cunningly usurped the kingdom of Yudhishthira, who had no enemy. By the grace of the Lord, the recovery was executed, and the unscrupulous kings who joined with Duryodhana were killed by him. Others also died, the duration of life having decreased through the rough handling of the hair of Queen Draupadi. Right, so they were beings. Basically, you can say it's all of them. Their life was reduced because of this, right? Because if you remember, Manu, if a chaste woman is insulted, then it destroys the dynasty. It says, as if by magic. This means just everybody's just gone, like that. It doesn't mean that one day they're all there and then poof, they're all gone, you know, like that. You know, the drink's still sitting on the coffee, you know, like that. No, it's just that, you know, by some amazing way, they'll all just disappear, one after another. So here it all happened at once in a big war. So Duryodhana, he had more than just this one. This one was there, but he had so many others, right, you know, like that. So he and his brothers then were all destroyed. Like this, but all these other kings who were there and supported, then they were also destroyed from the same. In his purport to 185, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the importance of protection for the human society. In glorious days, or before the advent of the age of Kali, the brahmanas, the cows, the women, the children, and the old men were properly given protection. Right, so these five, these that Prabhupada mentions, that this is a symptom of human life. If these five aren't there, so one. But that means the five together means one may have a preference or a focus. That's fine, but not at the expense of the others. You know, does that make sense? Like very rare means the Brahmin is okay, then everybody else is a schnook. Okay, mm-hmm. But it doesn't work like that, right? The cows. Then if everyone's out not taking care of the cows, then you know nobody cares. Like that. But, you know, the Brahmins, some other people, they have other things to do, right? Then the women, of course, with that, everybody gets put on the side, right? Except for, you know, the children, okay, we'll take care of. Like that. Does that make sense? And then when the children, that goes against the Brahmins, it goes against the old men, it goes against, you know, everything goes, you can't, you know, if you're taking care of them, they can't do things like taking care of cows or like that. And then the old men, then you know, you make everybody else feel bad. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You remember that? Like last year, all those posters? Yeah, you know, everybody, death and dying, you know, it's all, you know, the whole thing.
Enjoy,
as you come out of the temple, you see those things. You know. Does that make sense? So all five go together because they each have a place in the society. The brahmanas are the heads of society, so they give the direction. Without that, then what does it mean having anything else? Right? The cows, they provide the milk that is used for sacrifice and develops the finer brain tissue so you can understand what the Brahmins are saying. Right? Without the women, there isn't a culture. There is not a society. Right? Does that make sense? You don't hear about the sages sitting in the forest and there's any, like, cultural scene there. Do you understand? When you do women, then you have the whole society. Without women, there is no society. And they're going to produce the children, which will grow up to be Brahmins and take care of the cows and become old men. Right? You understand? So quite a central feature. Right? You know, the children, they're going to grow up. So children is generic. But in specific, it will be the brahmacharis. Because when you say women, that means from when they're young, in the middle, and when they're old. Right? So Brahmins are the children, or all men are the children. Then when they grow into the middle age, then it's Brahmanas. Because the others, then they're the ones who are supposed to take care. Right? And then old men, then when everybody gets old. Does that make sense? So, in other words, men, when they're young and when they're old, are taken care of. In the middle, only the Brahmins. Everybody else has to create the environment to take care. Right? Women are all the way through. Right, cows are all the way through.
Yes.
Understand? Yes.
If Krishna takes care of everybody, why take care of these groups specifically?
Well, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? God's taking care, but what will you do? Right, you're going to develop yourself personally by doing something. And if you do nothing, so this is one of the things to do. This is the social. Right? This is the whole social systems like this, the whole Varnashram system.
So this is for the people to be able to take care of somebody, right?
No. It's like this. We said the Brahmins give the direction, the cows provide the milk so you can do sacrifice. The women, they create the whole social fabric, right? Children are the ones that are going to grow up and become part of that. The old men, they give advice, right? They've gone through. They've been grihasthas, they've been business, they've done everything. And now, when they're older, then they can reflect on it and look at what was useful, because it's dispassionate, right? They have nothing to gain. They can tell you stuff, you follow it. It doesn't really matter to them, right? They're doing whatever they're doing, you know? And you want to follow it? Great. If you don't, then hey, the school of hard knocks is there for everybody. It's a very broad-minded, open school that discriminates against no one. Right? You know, so if you want to be punted around the block, then you can go for it, you know? But if you want to listen to the old people, then they'll give you some advice. Right? So that's why they have to be protected. Otherwise, then they'll just be worrying about themselves. You won't get that valuable instruction. And an old person, they don't take care of themselves so good. Like that, you know what I'm saying? Unless it makes sense. Yes? That makes sense. So this is the social fabric. I mean, if you're going to have this social, then you have this. If you're just living out in the forest, you don't have really that much of this. Though you will have. But it'll be on a much smaller scale. Does that make sense? So you can tell the society by how much these are taken care of. That's how you can tell. You can tell how much it's developed. Not by, you know, how much technology, you know, or these kind of things, but how much they take care of these five groups. You know what I'm saying?
And who's... And the ruler of that society is to be the initiator of this.
Yes, because they will see that nobody is doing anything that they're not supposed to be doing, and following the Brahmins, encouraging that, then the Brahmins are training. And so then one will be trained in these things. Does that make sense?
And if this is not happening, then there's nothing the individual can do?
The individual can do whatever they can, but we're just talking about the overall. So we see the context. The context was Srila Prabhupada emphasized the importance of protection for the human society. Right? Because what was happening before is Duryodhana, and that wasn't properly protecting in this case. They didn't deal properly with Draupadi, they're not taking care of the Pandavas. Right? Because if they're supposed to be, if he's the emperor and they're in the junior position, he's supposed to take care. Right? Like that. But actually he saw them as equals, if not superior, so that's why he didn't take care. Right? One, the protection of the Brahmas maintains the institution of Varna and Ashram, the most scientific culture for attainment of spiritual life, because they know the science, right? That's what Manu says. They are the embodiment of the law, right? The Brahmins are born to protect the law, right? Just like Kshatriyas are born to protect the society, Vaishyas are born to protect the cows, right? Shudras are born to assist in those three things. Does that make sense? Two, the protection of cows maintains the most miraculous form of food, i.e. milk, for maintaining the finer tissues of the brain for understanding higher aims of life. Right? So that's the point, is that is by milk it refines the brain tissues. Right? So this is an important element. Does that make sense? So that's why the society sees these, they take care of these things. Three, the protection of women maintains the chastity of society, by which we can get a good generation of for peace, tranquility, and progress of life. Right? Because people are satisfied if they are born of parents of equal nature. Right? Then there's a natural, like it says here, peace, tranquility, progress, because you know who you are, you know what you're supposed to do. If there's Shankara or mix, then the difficulty comes is that the person doesn't know who they are. Right? You know, it's not an uncommon thing in the West. You know, maybe when they hit 30, they kind of get an idea. All it is of all the ideas they have, one of them becomes a little more prominent, or they're willing to be a little more practical because the whole youthful thing is kind of over. So then now they can kind of settle down, you know, but there's every chance that they won't really figure it out till they hit 50 when they become old, right? Does that make sense? You know, of course, there's always the option when you're about to die, you know, so like that, you know. But the point is this, the society goes well when people know who they are, what they're supposed to do, right? Four, the protection of children gives the human form of life its best chance to prepare the way of liberty from material bondage. Such protection of children begins from the very day of begetting a child by the purificatory process of Garbhadhan Samskar, the beginning of pure life. So then children born by Garbhadhan, then they're going to have a more clear picture of who they are. Right? Just naturally. Because otherwise, how is Garbhadhan happening? Because the parents are able to focus on it. Does that make sense? Like that. Yeah. And then they get the proper energy, proper attention. Right? Because people who can perform that generally can give proper attention. And by giving attention to the children, then when they grow up, they can give attention to others. You know what I'm saying? And it's like this modern thing where you have this one thing where you don't take care of the kid when they're crying. You let them cry themselves to sleep. It's some kind of theory, you know.
Yeah.
Hard love.
Yeah, yeah. Huh? You know?
Hard love.
Hard?
Love.
Hard love, but no. But there's a psychologist or somebody who came up with it.
It's like independence,
independent.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that. What it means is they're talking about it for the child, but what it really means is for the adult. The adult just doesn't want to get up from whatever they're doing and go take care of the kid. So therefore, they use this intellectualize it and that. No, but the kid, you know, has to learn to be. He has plenty of time to learn later. You know, plenty of time to learn later. That's like saying no. We don't put trainer wheels on the bike, you know, let them fall over, let them crack their head, let them break their leg, let them learn, you know, what the world's like, you know, exactly. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like that. No, we won't help them with their homework, you know, let them do it themselves, you know, like that. Why should we prepare dinner? Let them make it themselves. You could go on and on and on like this, you know? And then what do you get, right? Does the dog take care of his children, right? The male dog's gone. The male lion's gone. Most of them are gone. How many? Only elephants, then they all kind of take care. Elephants take care, cows take care, right? Mm-hmm. Other animals hardly take care of their kids. So that is the options that you're getting. So the whole thing is then when they grow up, they're unable to take care of others. Why? Because no one ever takes care of them.
Yeah.
It's not that you can't learn by association, but we're just saying the inherent, right? Because the idea is you're dealing with the society and you're dealing with material desire, so you want to make it as easy as possible because it's already tough enough. Right? So that's why it's recommended this way. It's not that the devotee, by now coming in contact with Krishna consciousness and learning what's the standard, they can't develop it. But he has to work on developing it, while it should have already naturally been there. Does that make sense? It should be from 18 you can actually take care of people and be responsible and do things. I'm only saying 18 because the modern is 18 is legal age. The Vedic was 16. So from 16 they could be kings, they could be warriors, they could be husbands, fathers. Abhimanyu was a warrior and a father and a husband at 16. Like that. And no one's saying he was a kid. It's never brought up that he was young. Right? You just talk about Abhimanyu, who went in and in half a day, before noontime, had destroyed one Aukshahini, which is one quarter of what the Kauravas had, in one day. And he would have killed another one by the evening. He would have killed half the army himself alone. Like that. That makes sense.
Pretty good.
You know, his wife is going to Krishna directly to save her child from an atomic, explosion. You know, I mean, we're looking at some very far out people here. Why? Because they were taken care of when they were born according to Garbhadhan and taken care of. That's all. It's simple. Like that. 5, the protection of old men gives them a chance to prepare themselves for better life after death. Because otherwise, if you have to take care of themselves for maintenance, then you're unable to focus on, chanting, reading, and these kind of elements. Right? This complete outlook is based on factors leading to successful humanity as against the civilization of polished cats and dogs. The killing of the above-mentioned innocent creatures is totally forbidden. Because even by insulting them, one loses one's duration of life. Just by insulting them, one loses. Let alone you actually kill them.
Yes.
In the age of Kali, they are not properly protected, and therefore the duration of life of the present generation has shortened considerably. Because the general thing is it's shortened by half. That's standard. So, is it uncommon that people die at 50? No, it's pretty standard. Right? One's supposed to live to 100. Now, if someone lives to 100, that's pretty freaky. Right? You know? But 100 is supposed to be normal.
In England, you get an award from
the president. Yeah, yeah. No, also America. You get a letter from the president. Like that. Yeah, unless you're an illegal immigrant, of course. Okay, so we can see is that there's a lot of something's not going right, and plus you have the other element of regulation. So this is the social thing, then there's the personal thing of just regulated life. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that when the women become unchaste for want of proper protection, their unwedded children called Varna Shankara. Varna means your occupation. Shankara means mixed. Right? Because there won't be it's based on desire rather than on nature. So you're going to naturally end up with mixed kids. Right? To insult a chaste woman means to bring about disaster in the duration of life. Dushasana, a brother of Duryodhana, insulted Draupadi, an ideal chaste lady, and therefore the miscreants died untimely. These are some of the stringent laws of the Lord mentioned above. Because otherwise, in that time, they would live to 1,000. Right? So, they didn't. They were in their early hundreds. Some of them were older, but, Buri Shrava, I think he had to hold his eyelids up with threads because he was so old that they would fall down. Like that. That's how they kill him. Cut those so he couldn't see. Okay, so in other words, this social thing is very important. So Prabhupada's bringing this out here. So we're getting all the benefit of the Mahabharata in the Gita in Prabhupada's purport, especially in the first two cantos. Right? But it's supposed to be why do all that? Right? Because Varnashram is so that you can develop your spiritual life, engage that in the Lord's service. The cows is for, you know, all these five then are for that. So it's not, the focus is on this in Bhagavata. That's taken as just a platform to function from. Right? Srila Sutta Goswami continued, after some time, the Lord Krishna and Maharaj Yudhishthira performed three Ashwamedha Yajnas, footnote 81. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, these horse sacrifices were actually carried out later. This is a summary of events without chronology. Because this immediately, this time, they were just finishing up the battle, taking care of that, taking care of doing all the Shraddha rites for all the you know, relatives and everything like that. Finally, the Lord made preparations to depart for Dwarka along with the other Yadavas. After receiving the worship of the great Brahmanas headed by Srila Vyasadeva, just as Lord Krishna was seated upon his chariot, however, Uttara came rushing towards him, while fearfully crying out, "O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality." Verses 6-9. In his purport to 189, Srila Prabhupada explains the meaning of the word parasparam, the world of duality. This material world is the world of duality, in contrast with the oneness of the absolute realm. The world of duality is composed of matter and spirit, whereas the absolute world is complete spirit without any tinge of the material qualities. Right? In other words, this oneness that people are looking for on that emotional platform is actually only to be found in the spiritual world. But because it's an emotional sentiment, then all the facilities for that emotion are present. It means, in other words, the individuals, the situations, the activities, the interaction. Right? Does that make sense? Because this concept of oneness as a fact that doesn't exist, right? So it's a sentiment. The monists have a sentiment that there'll be oneness, but it doesn't exist. Right? Does that make sense? So it's only in the spiritual world. In the dual world, everyone is falsely trying to become the master of the world. Right? So there's God and then the living entity trying to be God. There's matter, there's spirit. Right? Whereas in the absolute world, the Lord is the absolute Lord, and all others are his absolute servitors. Right? So absolute here also means, can mean the highest, but also can also mean just eternally on the transcendental platform. In the world of duality, everyone is envious of all others, and death is inevitable due to the dual existence of matter and spirit. Right? So this life and death, because you're identifying with matter, so therefore that is the life. That life must end because it's temporary. Right? The soul is eternal. The Lord is the only shelter for fearlessness for the surrendered soul. One cannot save himself from the cruel hands of death in the material world without having surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay. Footnote 82. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that death is mutual, parasparam, in the sense that one person causes another's death, and someone else causes his death. You know, so it's all, how do you say? Everyone shares everything, right? That's all. You know, one's karma is always coming through another living entity. Does that make sense? So good or bad, it all comes like that. So once birth comes to another living entity, once death comes to another living entity. You know, so it's just the way it works. Like that. So therefore, paras param. The interaction.
Mark will never die alone. Except that the wife and the children are the executioners of your karma.
Yes.
So death...
I mean, it has this double meaning. Executioners means one who carry out, and executioner means executioner can be more generic, means any activity, right? And executioner can also be specific, meaning death. Right? You haven't heard the man say, "These kids are going to be the death of me," or the mom saying that. Right? So, no, it's, Yeah. In other words, you apply it how it works. These are the facts. Then you contemplate it and see how it applies in your life. If we, it, like, you know, what we discussed the other day in Bhagavatam class, if someone says, no, but, you know, the family is this, and that, yes, that's true, but that's how you're engaging the facts. The facts are, it's totally mundane and absolutely useless, because it has nothing to do with the soul. But if one sees it in connection to Krishna, then you can see Krishna's energies, engaging Krishna's energies in the Lord's service, you know, working with the devotees, the association, those you can make out of it. You know what I'm saying? But if you, like, if you go into the kitchen, you're hungry, everything's empty and there's one can of beans in there. Right? That's not a meal. You understand? It's just not by any way, shape, or form. Right? Even in England, you'd have to have a piece of toast to go with it. No?
Some curry powder and things.
Yeah, something. But, you know, but just a can of beans. It's not going to... But you make the best of what it is. So you take the can of beans and you do whatever you do with them. You know what I'm saying? Open the top, eat them straight, put them in the microwave, you know, whatever you like. You know? Does that make sense? Or do both. Hey, you know. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're doing. So because that's all we have in the material world, we only have that, therefore we'll speak pleasantly about that side of it. Because that's all you have, so that's what you do. You understand? So therefore the nice things about, you know, the wife is the fortress for the senses of the husband and all these kind of things. Because there are those nice things if you cooperate together, but that's because you're applying the higher sentiments. Right? But as facts of what's going on, it's not exactly higher sentiments. You know what I'm saying? That's the bottom line. So when you apply these high, that's why it's said that these protecting these five, that's how you can maximum bring out these good qualities and then connect those to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? And for us, basically only through devotional service can we bring out the good qualities. So we're only able to follow Varnashram because we're doing bhakti. In other races, they could follow Varnashram even without bhakti. But to get full benefit, or to get actual benefit, they'd have to follow bhakti. Otherwise, it's another temporary, nice temporary thing to do. Does that make sense? So one has to be able to balance those two like that. So we're working on the principle, it is not a nice place, but within that we do the best we can, and because we're working with devotees trying to do these things, then we're nice, and everybody else we're nice to, because they're all part and parcel of Krishna. Like that. So it's only because of the connection with Krishna that it becomes nice. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say the one's out in the rain, right? You came out of the house, you know, you start walking, and partway down the road it starts raining. So is it nice? Right? Especially if you didn't have an umbrella. Okay. Now, what happens if, you know, just had a great day with your best friend and, you know, it's not like that and it starts to rain? It's just some fun thing. You know, you laugh about it. You understand? So what? Because it's the association. The situation's actually bad, but because of the association, that makes it better. You understand? So the material world's just bad. Wholesale bad. But if you connect it to Krishna and the association of devotees, then you make that, what Prabhupada says, the best of a bad bargain. You know, so this defense of the material world is basically useless. Does that make sense? But if you're connecting it to Krishna, that's where it becomes useful. So it's this connection that's useful, not because it's inherently good. The devotees will say, no, but if we do for Krishna, and then they'll go back into showing how it's good on its own. You understand? No, it's only good because of the connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Someone might accuse Uttara, you are praying for your life even though you are now without your husband, Abhimanyu. Are you not ashamed? Uttara replies in verse 10, my Lord, let the Brahmastra burn me personally, if you so desire, but please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do this favor, my Lord. Verse 10, Srila Prabhupada explains, this incident took place after the death of Abhimanyu, the husband of Uttara, Abhimanyu's widow. Uttara should have followed the path of her husband. But because she was pregnant, and Maharaj Pariksit, a great devotee of the Lord, was lying in embryo, she was responsible for his protection. The mother of a child has a great responsibility in giving all protection to the child. And therefore, Uttara was not ashamed to express this frankly before Lord Krishna. Right? So very straightforward, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's a duty to take care, you know, not to let them cry themselves to sleep because you'd rather be talking on the phone. Right? Suta Goswami relates to the sages that Lord Krishna could understand Ashwatthama had released his brahmastra to kill the Pandavas' last remaining descendant. Although the Pandavas had picked up their weapons, Krishna knew that they didn't have time to counteract Ashwatthama's brahmastra. Therefore, even though he had promised not to take up weapons, Lord Krishna immediately invoked his Sudarshan Chakra, preferring his reputation as Bhaktivatsala to that of a moralist who never breaks his solemn vow, right? So that was the test with Yudhishthira, right? 83. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to 1.8.13, the brahmastra cannot be counteracted by any weapon except another brahmastra. Right? That's why Arjuna used. Right? Arjuna had counteracted one brahmastra with one of his previously. Now Ashwatthama had released five separate brahmastras for each of the Pandavas. This was difficult to counteract because it would take time to release five brahmastras. Considering the unavoidable danger, though the Lord had renounced all weapons, he protected his devotees, even if he had to break his own promise. In order to preserve his unique quality of having affection for his devotees. Right? So now, here's the point that comes up. One can say it's irreligious. No, Vishwanath points out, it's morality. It's not dharma. Because saving someone's life, that's dharma. Not, I spoke and I've never spoken an untruth, right? Meaning, I've never said anything that's not fact. That's morality. That's just a nice quality. It's a good thing to do, right? And it's standard amongst kings. But the point is saving life. That's dharma. This is morality. We shouldn't mix them up, right? So now here, Krishna can either be known as a moralist or by his nature that he is kind to his devotees or preferential to his devotees. That's his nature. That's dharma. So therefore, he takes that and protects his devotees. Yes?
So, if Ashwatthama, he released five astras here, why is it that in the verse in the Bhagavatam we hear about him Krishna protecting Uttara?
Because that's what the discussion's about. You know, I mean, unless they ask questions. You know, because it'll be thrown out. If nobody asks a question, so what happened with the other five? It'll just run the story. Because there's unlimited things you could ask, but remember Pariksit Maharaj only has 7 days. Because the Purana is 1 billion verses, so there is plenty of detail down to, you know, exactly, you know, which finger, you know, on the bow. I mean, because how you hold the bow, there's different ways of holding with two fingers, with one finger, holding it like this, holding it upside down, holding it with the thumb. There's like five different ways to hold that the Shastra mentioned. So even which one of those was used, you know, those kind of means you can get down to that detail. But unless someone asks, then you just kind of, you know, tell the story. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, was it because of this principle between dharma and morality that Krishna asked Arjuna to declare that his devotees would not perish?
Because otherwise people don't necessarily trust Krishna. You know, he's saying that you may or may not trust me because he's Chalu. He likes to do that. But like Balaram doesn't do Chalu. He may do crazy, but he doesn't do Chalu. Oh, this doesn't mean anything. Chalu means clever. Right? You know, Balaram may take the mood of an avidhood as Nityananda, but he doesn't do clever. But Krishna is clever, right? He'll say one thing to another. You know, all these different fun things. He'll have fun. Because he's the top, so he can do whatever he likes. You know, but Balaram always, because he's Shankarshan. But Krishna is Vasudeva. So Vasudeva is a combination of all of them. But Sankarshan means your predominance of that. Not that Balaram couldn't, he just doesn't, because it's already happening as Krishna. So the taste is already there. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. In reputation as Bhaktivatsala, so that of a moralist, okay now. In this way, by utilizing his own energy, Lord Krishna covered Uttara's embryo, so that when the force of Ashwatthama's Brahmastra encountered it, it became neutralized. But because Sudarshan is the source of all weaponry. Right? If you see Sudarshan in slow motion, you see there's unlimited arms and each one has a different weapon in it. That's why he's so effective. Right? You know, every weapon that there is spinning at once, and so therefore then there's no problem in Sudarshan counteracting a Brahmastra. Yes.
Are the weapons like personalities?
They're also, yeah. It means at least Krishna's are. But, you know, yeah, it means that's why they give him names and stuff. Yeah.
So if the P is now Ashwatthama, he's, you know, he's not trying to please Duryodhana because Duryodhana...
Yeah, no, now it's just revenge.
Yeah, that's about himself.
Yeah, no, now it's just, you know, he's been insulted and all that. So that's why he's saying he's immature. Because otherwise, if he was mature, he's been defeated. They are more superior. Now he's sending the Brahmastra again.
But he couldn't accept that.
No, somehow or another he couldn't. Because that's the difficulty. When Brahmins work in the Kshatriya environment, there's every chance they can become involved. Like a Brahmin who works very much within, completely within the Kshatriya scene, that as we see from Manas, in, I think it's passion of passion, or a goodness of passion. Like that, I would say here's passion of passion because he's fighting with weapons. If you're fighting with words, that'll be goodness of passion. Right? But your standard brahminical duties will be up in ignorance of goodness with yajna and ritual, or passion of goodness with you know, shastra and teaching and things like that. If you remember how the modes of nature were, you know, like plant life and those, you know, rocks and stuff like that, that's ignorance of ignorance. Right? Then your general animals are in passion of ignorance, and things like cows, and a few other animals, I think lions, there's like a goodness of ignorance, and also your tribals, you know.
Haribol.
Yeah. You know, so like that, you know, then you get, you know, then you get these little, and then it moves up through there. So it appears that from that kind of association and background, you know, then there's the mode of passion is more prominent than it should be. Right? Even though it's brahminical and using it, it's still lower levels of brahminical. It's not your ideal kind of standard of brahminical. So, yes?
Isn't it also that this lila shows that actually an offender has to be killed to remove...
No, not necessarily. Because we'll see after this, it's corrected. But, see, it means... It means an aggressor would be killed at the time of aggression, but when he was brought, that's after the fact, like that. Because otherwise, he sent the Brahmastra that first time. That was just in as a battle, right? As one fighter with another. But then, but when he's brought, he's tied, he's bound. He has no weapon. He can't fight. So, and he's a Brahmin. If he hadn't been a Brahmin, then there would have been a different story. Like that. Does that make sense?
It just means like it leaves him room to send the second.
It does leave him room, but at the same time as there's also the element of, because otherwise if you get rid of him at that point, it's niti. Because it's not dharma, because you don't kill Brahmins. Right? And so artha also wouldn't support it. So the only thing that you could give support to it would be niti. And so then niti always has a short cycle. Like example is Duryodhana. You know, it's like they send the Pandavas to the house of Lak. They're there for a year, so Duryodhana can enjoy the kingdom, right? And then after that, then they get away, they get back, they marry Draupadi, and now they come back. And before, they were just five people against 100, you know, and then throw in Karna and Shakuni and a few others, right? They had no allies. Now they had Drupad, which is he's a major warrior. He defeated all of them. He alone defeated them all. Not even he defeated them. His populace defeated him by throwing bricks and pots and pans and sticks and, you know, bamboos, whatever they could pick up. They defeated them, right? But the Pandavas, personally, just with three, actually just one of them, defeated him. Right? And so, therefore, you know, how powerful an ally is this? You know, and then with that, then the Dwarka aligned itself also with the Pandavas. So now you had Dwarka, which nobody messes with. It's just, you just don't. No, you don't hear of anyone declaring except for, what was his name?
Shishupal
and Dantavakra. But other than them, Shalva, yeah, like this. You know, just, you know, slightly unrealistic, you know, like that. Then they try, but you don't hear of Dwarka and its army having to go out and actually fight. This is the only time at Kurukshetra that you hear about it, you know. Or when Krishna goes, you know, with to get Rukmini, he goes with a bit of a party there, you know. But that's just etiquette, you know. That's just, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, right? No? Not yet. Eleven six, the prayers of Queen Kunti. Okay. Yeah, okay, so then here's the element of now we're opening with the stories, and as Bhurijan Prabhu points out, protection is the first thing that's being brought up. Because the thing is, we're going to surrender to Krishna, is he going to take care? So we see he's taking care here. This is quite an extreme situation, so, you know. One can't say that my situation's worse, right? You know, that's the point of the, why these certain stories are chosen, right? You know, like that. Verses 17 to 43, the prayers of Queen Kunti. Thereafter, as Krishna once again prepared to depart for Dwarka, Kunti Devi approached him along with her five sons and offered her very beautiful prayers. Kunti Devi said, "My dear Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality, beyond the influence of the material qualities. An actor who is playing his role is not recognized. Similarly, you are beyond the limit of mundane sense perception." So, because he does it, he acts a part so well, people don't realize his position as the Supreme Lord. You know, so that's, you know, good acting. You know, it's like in everything. Everything's going on so nicely, but it's all the Lord is doing it. That we're all thinking we're doing it. You know, so that's good acting, you know, or good illusion. Due to a poor fund of knowledge and stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present, the less intelligent persons, known as asuras, cannot recognize the Lord's authority, Srila Prabhupada explains. Such persons could not recognize Lord Shri Krishna even when he was present before them. Another difficulty is that those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot realize him as the Supreme Lord. Right? So they're not even able to recognize him because of the demoniac qualities. Right? And they can't realize him as Brahman. Right? Or, you know, but let alone is because they're... Okay, so, They can't realize, they are unable to realize him as the Supreme Person. Right? So it's just automatic. It's because of this mundane thing they can't tell.
They take pratyaksha before...
Yes, pratyaksha is always... Means you see, what's the top? Means of intellectuals in the world, who's considered the top?
Scientists.
Right? Before it was more romantic, you know, your more literary kind of based persons or religious persons, that was always considered the top, right? And then science was considered secondary to philosophy or theology, right? You know, and then you'd have, you know, your poets and everything else like that. So all you've done is remove the theology, and so naturally then your scientist comes up, you know, like that. And even of scientists, it has to be hard science, which means I can see it with my senses. You know, it's not a matter of intuition like that.
Is philosophy another word for theology?
Philosophy, I'm not sure if someone knows the Greek background of philosophy or theology. It's different. I think philosophy means about the soul, and theology is more broad. It's about, you know, God and the tree. So soul would be included. In other words, philosophy is included in theology. Yeah. Nowadays, maybe not, but but originally it was. So just the thought about soul, Brahman, supreme, that would be philosophy, right? And theology is actually the Lord, his creation, all that kind of aspect.
That's the problem of an arbitrary society. Nobody knows what the words mean anymore.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It's harder to know. I mean, it depends on your language, you know, a little bit more.
Yeah.
But at least English, it's probably one of the farthest away from its roots. Most others are a little closer. You know, there's some more meaning or some understanding of roots, because you're taking your, when you have the declensions, then there's a little bit more understanding. There's a root word, but in English it's just usage, so no one even knows, you know, what is the root word. Such persons, okay. Another difficulty, so the Asuras can't, because they're just against the Lord, so they can't. Another difficulty is that those who depend more on your imperfect senses cannot realize him as the Supreme Lord, because pratyaksha, you can't see, the senses can't see the Lord unless he reveals himself, because he's a different substance, right? Such persons are like the modern scientists. They want to know everything by their experimental knowledge, but it is not possible to know the Supreme Person by imperfect experimental knowledge. He is described herein as adhokshaja, or beyond the range of experimental knowledge. It's interesting when it said you have experimental, makes it exactly sound like what it is. Mm-hmm. They're just hit and miss.
Yeah.
But then they do, what's the other words they use? Experiential? No, that's the, yeah. So no, but there's another one, empiric, right? Empirical. Empirical sounds fancy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm doing something, but experimental is actually what it means.
Yeah.
So it's very nice, Prabhupada uses.
Yes.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Kunti says, "You are covered by the curtain of Maya." Krishna says, "Then Maya covers me?" Kunti says, right? You know, Kunti says, "It is like the fool who thinks the sun is covered by a cloud. I see you as covered because my vision is covered by Maya. Because you are beyond sense knowledge, adhokshajam, sense knowledge, akshajam jnanam, is situated below you, adha. Right? I do not have the power to contact you, since my knowledge arises from my senses, like the knowledge of a fool. But even if despicable persons like me do not know you, there is no loss for you. You remain unaffected by this." Right? It means the sun is not affected by the clouds. The people below the clouds are affected. So by that ignorance, one is affected. Right? So that's the real point. Does that make sense? So therefore, because it's beyond and there is ignorance, it doesn't mean that what's above the sun is a person. You understand?
Yes.
Like that. Krishna says, "But you see me directly and praise me. You know that I am beyond Prakriti. Then why do you criticize yourself as being ignorant?" Right? His point is, if you can see me, how can you say you're ignorant? Because if I'm covered by Maya, but you're seeing me.
Yes.
So how, why do you say that you're ignorant? Kunti says, "Though the dancer is endowed with rhythms and dance steps suitable to the rasa, the ignorant spectator, ignorant of the scriptures delineating the performance, sees only a dancer dancing. Though he sees, he does not really see." So you have to be, you know, how qualified is he's able to? Like that. Does that make sense? In other words, one sees, it's just like, I think it was at that first Woodstock, I think it was, that Ravi Shankar and his band came on the stage, and they started tuning the instruments, because in the Indian thing, you sit down, because you may tune the instrument, you do before, but when you come on stage, by walking this, picking it up, putting it down, and all the different things, it goes out of tune, because it's very subtle. So then they do the subtle, you know, adjustments there, or if they're not worried, then they do the full adjustments there. Because before Ravi Shankar, they would just come on the stage, get the stuff out of the box, and start tuning for 20 minutes. But he added something new to the scene. He would tune it before, then when you come, it's only subtle tuning. Right? So it wouldn't take so long, so the audience wouldn't get as bored. Right? Because previously you had trained audience, but kind of with him, you had the shifting to untrained. So then, you know, he's there tuning the sitar, the drum man is tuning the drum to make it match, you know, they're all doing all the tamburas are tuning. And then, you know, so they took a few minutes to do that. When they finished, the crowd erupted in applause. They loved it. And then he said, wow, if you like the tuning, you'll really like the performance. So that's the ignorant crowd. It's just they just see someone there doing something, and that's all. You don't know what's being done. Right? You just know it looked nice, it was far out. But what was actually far out, you don't know. You know, that's called entertainment, right? Though he sees you, he does not really see. Similar, though I see you, I really do not see you. The word tata, similarly, should be understood from the context. Though you protect the pandavas, your devotees, since you are the soul within all of us constantly, you personally counteracted a weapon of Ashwatthama, meant for killing the pandavas, though you promised not to use weapons. You took up a weapon. Though you protect the righteous, you had Bhishma and other righteous persons destroyed. Though you are most affectionate to Draupadi and Subhadra, you let their sons be killed. I do not know the truth about your pastimes.
Yes.
Queen Kunti continued. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? Right. So here, the transcendental science of the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators. So they have that intellectual capacity to be able to take and understand the science, right? Because they can just work in science. That's the thing. The masculine mentality can, if it's working in science, can exclusively just work in science. So then all these technical things. But she's pointing out. But as women, than the intellectual work, but at the same time, the emotions are also functioning, right? Like just like the examples were given, right? These aren't examples the men would think up, right? You know, you are affectionate to Draupadi and Subhadra, but you let their sons be killed, or you had Bhishma and other righteous persons just killed, though you protect righteousness. Men wouldn't think of those, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, is you put them both together. Yeah. That's the difference. So then she's saying, so how will we know you? So nicely, because we're not going to take it that far. This is question 13. Srila Prabhupada answers in his purport to 1820. Even the greatest philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. It is said in the Upanishads that the supreme truth, the absolute personality of Godhead, is beyond the range of the thinking power of the greatest philosopher. He is unknowable by great learning or by the greatest brain. He is knowable only by one who has his mercy. So that's how. Right? Except it's not that they have greater intellectual capacity. It's that you can't know him by intellectual capacity. You can only know him by his mercy. So if you're engaging your intellectual capacity in the Lord's service and he's pleased, then he may give you mercy.
Yes.
But it's not because of the intellect. It's because of engaging whatever capacity you have in the Lord's service. That's what it is.
Yes.
So then Kunti will engage her capacity and get the Lord's mercy, as is being seen by she's offering these prayers. Right? So it's not just there were some prayers and Kunti offered some prayers. We see that we're stopping here and going through it. Right?
Yes.
Because there's some meaning. It's a valuable work. You know, and Prabhupada, in so many books that he's written, one of them is just taking these 11 verses and making a whole book out of it, right? And the prayers of Queen Kunti, right? So it's significant, like that. Yes.
When you say that bhakti is independent, that's what explains.
Yes, bhakti is independent because bhakti only comes from bhakti. So it's only by desire. That's why the other day we said, so what's the key? What's the clue? You know what? What technique can I apply to my already, and you know, this long list of, you know, associates who are devotees and higher and lower and middle and this and that and prashad and the etiquettes. So you can understand the person's functioning at a high level of you know, culture and etiquette and rules and regulations. So you want to know, what can they add to that? And I says, desire. Okay, yeah, but you know, what's the technique? No, it's just desire. But yeah, what's the, three times, you know, then I say, no, it's just desire. Because bhakti comes from bhakti. Otherwise you're saying technique generates bhakti. You know what I'm saying? All it is you're dealing with pious karma. Right? Because by nature one is situated in goodness, one can follow the rules and regulations, sadhana comes easy, Vaishnava association, Vaishnava etiquette, you know, festivals, organizations, all these come easy because of one's piety. But that's not what's generating the bhakti. It's because you're using that in the Lord's service, you have the desire to please the Lord through that. That's what's generating the bhakti. So bhakti generates bhakti. Does that make sense? So that's the, yeah, so that's the point. So. Others may go on thinking about him for years together, yet he is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by the queen, who is playing the part of an innocent woman. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, right? Because there's always the emotional content. Right, and as soon as you get into the emotional content, they'll go into that area. It doesn't mean that they don't speculate, but it's just in philosophy they won't speculate for long. But speculating about what's going to happen in the community, and this one says this, and that one says that, you mean, you know, in other words, how far the lady can take it in gossip, the man can take it in philosophy. Right? You know what I'm saying? So it means everybody has their expertise, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. But they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord. And thus they offer obeisances without reservation. In other words, the concept that there's a supreme is immediately accepted by women. So therefore, they get blessed much sooner. So here she's saying about these great transcendentalists and advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators, you know, they can understand this science, but what about us women? The point Prabhupada's making here is, well, actually the women may get the blessings first because they'll surrender to the Lord, because the mental speculator only gets benefit when he surrenders. So the point is the devotee gets benefit when he surrenders. Why? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Lord is so kind that he does not show special favor only to one who is just a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. Right? You see the Harinam going down the road. Who's there? Mostly women. You have big, whatever you have, the ladies are there. Right? You have a big Abhishek. You look out. Who's there? The women. You understand? Because it's something that's religious, something connected with the Lord, that's the nature. Right? The men will be in the next room speculating on whether I should go or not, or how much I have to do about this, or how important is this, or yes.
Not an absolute fact, but as an observation, ladies, they come quicker, but men usually stay longer.
That's fair. But I mean, it's just, yeah.
You know,
well, it's the same principles, like what Prabhupada said about the Chinese yatra. It says they'll be the last to come, but they'll, you know, that they'll be, it'll be very serious. Also, you see, like in South, you know, so it's just those who contemplate, then they, you know, they stay a long time. Like that. So yes, because the thing is, it's the distraction. That's why it says the protection. So they can surrender easily, take up religion very easily, but then there must be that protection to create a religious environment.
Otherwise they just move forward.
Yeah, because the point is it's the women's brain only functions in rasa. The men's brain can function in between. Right? So you understand the context? It means in the five levels of consciousness, first, third, and fifth, those are rasa. The second and fourth, those are not. Right? It means mukti, liberation, is not rasa.
It's more like a tattoo.
Yeah, that means, and also artha. It's like men can think about money all day. Women can think it's important to have money, being anxiety about getting money, but not about the process of making. You know, some, if they're from business, then they can do that. But it'll always be combined with this usage, while men will just look at it just to make it. You know what I'm saying? Just a science. So therefore, if they become convinced, then they'll be stable. Right? Because the lady will go, if nothing else, just because it's good for you to go to Mangalarti. You know, you get benefit. Things will go nicely. You know, your life will go nice. You know what I'm saying? The man has to convince himself why I should go. You know, I'm independent. Why I should go? Why I should give up this independence? Like that. Does that make sense? So for the woman, it's not a matter of independence. It's a matter of control. It's not a matter of that I'm independent. It's just, can I control it? You understand? The man can be independent as long as you have control of him. That's you know, who cares? The Lord is so kind that he does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. In every country and in every sect of religion, it appears that the women are more interested than the men. This simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. Right? In other words, if it was ladies, you wouldn't have so much fanaticism. Right? You know, because it's just what works for them. It's not that you have to impose it on everybody else, unless you do get a few like that, but otherwise it's not a general. Quinti continued, "Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and senses." Footnote 84. Srila Prabhupada writes in his commentary to 1.8.21, Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because in this particular incarnation he is more approachable. In the Rama incarnation he remained a king's son from his very childhood, but in the incarnation of Krishna, although he is the son of a king, he at once left the shelter of his real mother and father, King Vasudeva and Queen Devaki, just after his appearance, and went to the lap of Jashoda Mai to play the part of an ordinary cowherd boy in the blessed Brajabhumi, which is very sanctified because of his childhood pastimes. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Rama. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother, Vasudeva, and the family. Had he not become the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew, and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Jashoda are more fortunate because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Brajabhumi, and specifically the cowherd girls, who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. His pastimes with Nanda and Jashoda, and his pastimes with the cowherd men, and especially with the cowherd boys and the cows, have caused them to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the brahmanas and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied where these are lacking. What's that?
He manifested Lord Krishna not being satisfied. What would it look like?
What would Krishna not being satisfied look like? It means we're not satisfied. Right? It means we can only be satisfied if Krishna's satisfied. If we're not satisfied, it means Krishna's not satisfied. Of course, the fool can be satisfied despite the situation, but that's another thing. Your abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower. You are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and your glance is as cool as the lotus. Your feet are engraved with lotuses. You have saved my sons and me from many precarious situations, and now you have saved us from Ashwatthama's weapon. Still, I wish that all these calamities would happen again and again, so that we can see you again and again. For by seeing you, we will no longer have to see repeated births and deaths. So that's your thing. You see the Lord, you don't see repeated birth and death. You see repeated birth and death means you're not seeing the Lord. Yeah, he's one or the other.
Once you mentioned that the jiva, when the jiva is manifest, it contemplates the environment rather than Krishna. That's how it falls.
Yes.
So it seems here she's giving the antidote to that, but she's not looking at the environment.
Just looking at Krishna. Yeah, because it's all about Krishna, what he's doing, the relationship, everything like that. Yeah, that's a very good point. Right? You know, there was Kunti showing that it's not about the environment. It's about the, the relationship. Like that. That's the principle. So then that's what develops or cultivates one's spiritual life nicely. It means you start with if you're focused on the environment, which materialist means, that's what we're looking at, then you start seeing that in connection with Krishna, but ultimately it's got to switch to Krishna as a person, right? That's what's happening in Asakti. It's switching from the situations or the activities themselves to the person that the activity and the situation that they're performed in is for. Right? Like that. That's what that. Then bhava, then one can progress nicely. So there's always something that comes before. Right? You can only get taste if there's steadiness. You can only be steady if there's a removal of anarthas. There can only be removal of anarthas if there's surrender to Guru and following the process. Right, that'll only happen if you associate with devotees. That only happens if you have faith. That only happens if you associate with devotees. Right? My Lord, your lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. Right? If there's nothing to gain in the material world, Krishna is easy to approach. Right, because otherwise, if you're absorbed in the material things, you won't approach him. Right, like that. So that's the whole point: is that you've given up the desire to benefit yourself here. It doesn't mean that you're not involved in your duties and taking care of your house or getting money or doing any of this. It means that's not the focus. The focus is on Krishna. So to do that, it's just like if I want to cook, I need a pot. Right? So I might have to, you know, go find the pot, wash the pot, you know, then go find the spoon, you know, go around the kitchen, find everything. But I'm only cooking. But it's not about the pots. Right? Some people, it's all about, you know, the pots, the kitchen, how they're hanging them, all the different, yeah, this counter is this, and this knife is from here, and this pot's from there, and this spice is from, you know, it just goes on and on. You know, but it's not about the cooking. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Yeah. So now it's like having great opulence, high education, bodily beauty. These things are kind of like, you know, quite acceptable these days. Previously, no one really worried about them. Respectable parentage. It's sometimes rare. I mean, I haven't heard often when devotees talk about their background and just the fact of what it is. You know, always it's kind of put into some, you know, pleasantries or something like this, you know, but I've heard only a few devotees, they talk about it just as it is, yeah, you know, they're just, you know, from this place, you know, and they can discuss all these things that would be considered socially not so ideal, and just pleasantly, because, you know, that's just what it was, like that, so that's...
Without attachment.
Yeah, because without attachment, so therefore, it's not about trying to improve themselves, you know, by not talking about those things. No, it's just that's the way it is. And it's not that, oh yeah, no, we're from such low class backgrounds. So, you know, it's not about making about themselves. Just yeah, we used to, you know, yeah, we used to do that. Oh, that's fucking, we never did that. It's, you know, where we were, you know, you were just happy if you got this, you know. So, you know, it's just you don't hear it so because so these things that. Not looking for that, not looking for great opulence, not looking for high education means within the material platform, right? If you have that, then you're respectable, or then you can get a job, or then you can make it in the world, and you know, like that, yes.
However, from Gita we learn that four kind of people come into the Lord, and it's not exactly what's described here, because they come for opulence and for education, apparently, like that.
Yeah, but you could also you just put all of those together. You could put those into the first three: parentage, opulence, bodily beauty. You know, either you want them or you're in anxiety because of them.
Yeah.
You know, the high education means it's just a matter. Is it that you're going to the Lord for them, or there's an anxiety because of them? You know, so arta artarti.
Now, what's the difference?
One is that, how you say, one you could say is more mental anxiety. You know what I'm saying? The arta is mental anxiety. Artarti means they want those things. So it's not necessarily there's mental anxiety, it's just they want that, they're going to the Lord. Then the other is that there's all the, you know, mental, emotional, all these different things that come up from all this. You know, if that makes sense.
So it says here, your worship can easily be approached by only those who are materially exhausted.
Yes.
Those people come into the Lord for material things.
Mm. Oh, I see. This is the point. You're coming from this angle.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were trying to figure out how these fit into those categories.
No.
Oh, that means easily approachable means that you've seen that it's the Lord is the only answer to these. So then you're not looking that you'll do it yourself. In this case, it's the difference between the pious and the impious. The pious understand that they have to approach the Lord for any gain. While the impious, they think they'll do it themselves. Right? So the Muda thinks I'll just work hard, or the Narottama thinks I'm already working hard and getting good results. The Asura wants to control it. Mayaya Pratijnana, then, you know, with their intelligence, they'll work it all out. So they don't see the need to surrender to the Lord. Right? But these other four, they have the element of surrender. So that's the difference.
But still, that the motive isn't pure.
No, it's not pure. So that means how close do they get? You know what I'm saying? But the point is he's easily approachable. Like that. But it's just a matter of how much you'll appreciate having approached is how much you give up material desire. Right? So the point is in the material world, you know, then coming to the point of surrendering to the Lord means you have to give up, in one sense, a lot. Right? Means the material is the secondary. The primary is I'm the controller and enjoyer. Right? So that element you've had to reduce to approach. So actually you could say is the greater aspect has been given up. But, you know, one still has the attachment to material things. So that will be the anartas. Right? Is that okay? Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada writes in his purports to 1.8.25-26, this material world is certified by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Certified. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. That they're thinking that there are some calamities. We'll adjust to that. No, the whole place is just calamities. Right? That's the whole thing. It's not just, you know, a few things. It's just, all it is calamity. Right? They have no information of the abode of the Lord. which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. The duty of the sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. No matter what arrangement you make, it will always happen. Right? I think it's, you know, I mean, the closest you get to that the material world is full of calamities probably is Murphy's Law, right? But the point is that it's just the way it is. It's not that there is a time when Murphy's not around. It's just that how much Murphy's, you know, having fun, that's all. Is that something? Suffering all sorts of avoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization because that is the mission of human life. It means you perform your duties, and if it's within your duties to try to avoid those things, you do. But when they're unavoidable, you don't worry about it. Okay. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are called false. Means they're going on, the body's being affected, the mind's being affected, but you don't have to be affected because you're not the body or mind.
Right? Maharaj,
yes.
What does that mean? I don't.
What does that mean?
Yeah. How is the mind and the body affected? I mean, I know it's because you don't identify with.
Means you identify with it, that's why you become affected. Does the body really care if it's hot or cold? Right? If it's hot, it sweats. If it's cold, it goes blue. You know, it's not that the body's, you know, really cares. We care. That's why we get affected.
Yeah. I think this is something I'll understand when I get there.
So you're saying you haven't arrived yet.
No, I have not.
Okay, so the point is one has to appreciate that that's there. Right? In other words, if we identify with the mind and body, the difficulties that happen to the mind and body affect us. And affecting us means it affects our practice in spiritual life. That's why we're not so interested in it affecting us.
So you still recognize that that's going on, like you used to be like, oh, it's so hot, but you still continue with your...
Yeah, because otherwise what can you do? It's hot. There is no other alternative, unless you have some grand plan to put a huge dome over Mayapur and air condition the whole thing. Right? But even I don't think there's any examples of that happening. Or if it did, it didn't work out so great. Right?
Yeah, but when you continue with your service, regardless, you still can feel the heat, right? Like you continue to experience that heat.
It's not that it's not there, but it doesn't bother you.
Okay. What about if you're frozen?
You're frozen. That means totally frozen. Only back half is frozen. You're sitting there drumming your fingers, waiting for the other half to unfreeze.
No, like totally frozen.
Totally frozen. Just like frozen. Right? Can you move your eyes? If you can't move your eyes, there won't be any. You know, you won't get any. Dramatic effect.
Well, that's a situation where material is affecting your emotional
sense. Are you speaking from experience here? Because if not, this is called mental speculation.
Okay.
Pick something that's more real.
Mosquitoes are getting you. And you have to keep, shooing the mosquitoes away.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's say it's while you're shooing mosquitoes away. You know, someone comes up with, you know, extremely unique and juicy gossip. Do you notice the mosquitoes?
I've never been in this situation.
Okay. Well, you've never had any situation where that whatever's going on, you tend to not notice what situation you're in.
Yeah, but that's only for that short
period. Yeah. That's all you get here. That's as good as it gets. But that's the principle. On the spiritual platform, that can be permanent.
But experience here with mosquitoes.
whatever. Is that the situation? I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of this one pastime where...
So then you start with this. See, now if you want this to go nicely, this is the key. You start with that. You raise your hand and go, okay, I'm thinking of this one pastime like this and this and this and this. So how does this apply to what you're saying? Otherwise, like this, we go through this whole tour, you know, tour de merba, right? You know, like that, you know, like saying it. So we don't necessarily need that. Okay?
So was it Rupa Goswami, or is that who was bothered by the mosquito?
That was Sanatana Goswami.
Okay, and why? So why?
Because there's a lot of them.
But if you...
I mean, he's having to write in that if he's just going to sit and chant and be entranced, but he's got to write books in that. So you have to be aware of the external environment. So that means the mosquitoes are there. But the point is all he'll do is adjust to a different situation. You know what I'm saying?
He'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, just where there's less mosquitoes. Right? It means, where is he complaining? Where's the spot?
Tekadamba?
No.
It's
Manasiganga. Water's there, right? You know, it's a closed body of water. Mosquitoes, right? Then you go to some place where there's not mosquitoes. It means where there's no water.
So if you're in Maipo and it's hot, you go to some place where it's not water.
That's one way to do it. It can work. The other is called, you know, you turn on the fan. You know, it's like, you get yourself a place with verandas, you know, try higher ceilings.
But it's just that you have to be disturbed in order for you to take this action.
Yes, but the point is, see, you're looking at that to establish that you are disturbed. Everybody accepts that you're disturbed. What you're missing in the equation is that you can be not disturbed. No matter what's going to happen, you just accept this is the way it is and go on with your service. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's the part we're dealing with. Krupa-Pabha gives the example of cooking. Now, in the winter, cooking is nice because there's fire, it's warm, it's great. In summer, then it's already hot, and then you add to it the cooking. But for the cook, it doesn't matter. He just keeps cooking. That's the point. So that stableness is there. Does that make sense? Right? Just let's say, if in the cooking there's a few different places you could cook, and one of them's cooler than the other. So you might, in the summer, cook at that spot. And the one that's warmer, cook at that in the winter. But the point is the environment that you can do your service in, no matter if the environment's not so great, you still continue your service. Right? So for Sanatana Goswami, Vrindavan's his environment. You understand? Not specifically Manasiganga. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream and may cry for this calamity. Actually, there's no tiger and there's no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Right? There's no loss. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. Right? So that's all gain means you're always moving forward in spiritual life. It doesn't mean that the material things aren't happening and going up and down, but that's happening, that's the point, in the dream. Sometimes it's going great, sometimes it's not. You know, like I mentioned, it's the most annoying is in the dream. You know, you go, you find, you know, all the toilets are busy, you finally find the toilet, you go inside, you turn around, lock the door. When you turn around the other way to face the toilet, you're out in this big open field. You know, there's not even any buildings. You know, what happened to the toilet? You know, like that, you know, so you understand. So it's just, it's dreams, it doesn't matter, that's always changing, right? Never had that one. That one's bad. Okay. Okay, continue. Being maturely advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty, right? Because these are all symptoms of piety. Right? All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences, right? So even like the nouveau riche, they come in, they try to act as if they've always been, you know, aristocratic, but actually they've just recently become, right? That's why they have a name. And this is known as the advancement of material civilization, right? So you always have this thing of, no, only these families can do this. But at one point, these families were just a few families within a bunch of tribals. You know what I'm saying? It means that it's like, you know, the Romans had that. If you go back far enough, they were just all, you know, a bunch of guys out there with their swords and fighting. And then some of them become prominent. Or in France, you go back far enough in Gaul, you know, they were all a bunch of madmen. You know, same in Germany, same anywhere. They were all crazy. Right? You know, but then with time, they're the leading crazies, so then they become the aristocracy. Does that make sense? You know, that's how it works. Right? But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Right? Because generally, that's anybody who has these, that's what happens. To find someone not like that, that's rare. Like that. I've met two like that. Ambarish is one, the other one you wouldn't know, but he's a devotee. Like that. Actually, a few more, actually. Like that. Yes?
Maharaj, on the previous page, Prabhupada says, if someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, does that mean that it's only by luck that we can get bhakti, or it's all signed?
No, it's only by causeless mercy.
Why use the word lucky, not causeless?
Well, you're from which state?
I'm from Africa.
But originally, does it go back to somewhere that you can tell where you're from? So that means you're probably Guju.
No, Punjabi.
Punjabi, okay, that's rare. Punjabi's in South Africa.
East Africa.
East Africa. Oh, Kenya. Okay, Punjabis. True, no, this Rajasthani's there. Yeah, that's true also. Okay, so in Bengali, they don't say ksha, they just say ka. So if you say Lakshmi, and you drop the ksha and make it a ka, what do you get? Lucky. Okay, that's where the word comes from. That makes sense. So getting lucky means that there's opulence and these things are coming. So the point is it's still the Lord's potency. So by the Lord's grace, they're coming. The association of devotees, you get. People have, means all these things that we're talking about, these all come because people have bhakti sukritis. You understand? That's what's there. Right? Does that make sense? So it's therefore in coming in contact with the devotees, that's lucky because they've gone out and they've done. But now that continued contact, that will mature into devotional service. Right? So that they've come across once or something that they have facilities, nice. But to have, to actually take up the devotional process, that's the real point of association with devotees. Does that make sense?
So in the context of them, this meeting, it's lucky, but actually it is sanctioned by the Lord.
It's always sanctioned by the Lord. Everything's sanctioned by the Lord. Like you're holding your foot, that's sanctioned by the Lord. some people can't reach that far. Like I remember when somebody was asking one devotee, why doesn't he, you know, take care of his toenails? And his comment was, they're too far away. So therefore, you're able to touch your toes like that. You know, babies can stick them in their mouth, right? You know, so it's like, it's just sanction. So one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly, O Govinda, O Krishna. Right? So she's not materially puffed up, so that's a Kinchana Gochara. She's able to say these prayers. Right? It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Right? So it's much greater. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. Once uttering the holy name, the sinner gets rid of, right? So it's not saying the greatly pious, advanced devotee. It's saying the sinner, right? We should not give so much weight to sin, right? We tend to give great weight to sin. So sin has no weight. Its only weight is it keeps us from devotional service, right? But having taken it up, it's so much unlimitedly more powerful than devotional service that even once chanting, it removes more sin than you can commit. How much can you commit, right? I mean, who's up to the standard of Jagai and Madai, right? They're Brahmins, right? So that automatically adds in a weightiness and sin. And they know the Shastras well enough to be able to, you know, go through it and figure out which rules they haven't broken yet. You know what I'm saying? So that's sinful, okay? So no one can do. That's the power, yes.
Maharaj, but there is difference between sin and offenses. So we should still be very careful about not committing.
Yes, but when somebody runs off with someone else's wife, is that an offense or is that a sin? Okay, you go into the temple. What's one of the rules? One of the first rules for going into the temple?
Wash your feet.
Wash your feet. Do you notice any taps at the temple? Any? None. Right? That's offense. Nobody cares. Somebody runs off with someone's wife. Oh, that's the end of the world. Facebook is going nuts. You know, meetings are being held and this and that, and you know how they should be punished and all. So, which is more powerful? Sin? Or the holy name?
Holy name?
Yes, but in this consideration, how is it being applied? Sin has value. Sin has weight. Okay? You understand? That's the point. The holy name is more powerful. Because then the point is you want to purify him, make him sit in the temple and chant 64 rounds a day. That's going to purify him. You understand? Yeah. So it's a matter, why we're saying that is where you put your weight. She has, the weight is on Krishna, association of devotees, chanting the name. So she's a Kinchana Gochara. There is nothing of value in this world. Right? She's been in the middle of the greatest, you know, story of gossip, you know, in the, you know, millennium. Not any millennia, what would you say? You know, the age. Mahabharata. Thing like that, but that's not her interest at all. She's just looking at his opportunities to serve Krishna. That makes sense. Yeah.
It appears that in Christianity, the weight is given to the sin because it's all about that.
It's all about the sin, because if it's all about the sin, who's it about?
Yourself,
because you're the sinner. You know, it's not about really about God, because the thing is I was just thinking about that, is that. Okay, recognizing that there's a supreme, then that's better than not recognizing, right? Higher than that is recognizing the supreme as a person, right? But then there's the element of then higher than that is then recognizing that, you know, one should then follow the laws, right? And then in following the laws, but one's following one's for one's own benefit. So then higher than that is because, you know, it's how God wants it to be. you know, but then ultimately they're doing it because it pleases the Lord, right? Because generally no one talks about serving God because it pleases him. It's always about, you know, he's made the laws, you follow him, life will go nice. You'll get benefit. You know, if nothing, you know, either you'll get immediate, of course, you have to get that, right? And then not only that, you'll get more unlimitedly afterwards, right? You know. So it's that's the difficulty. It's not about the person. That's why it's always brought out the element of person, because that's not actually, even the monotheistic religions, it's not about the person. They acknowledge as a person, but it's not about the person. It's about ourself as the person. You know, so therefore the sin is greater. But that's just a normal mundane thing, because as we said, morality is always taken as more important, because morality is artha. But what's forgotten is morality is based on dharma. Right? So that's the whole thing, is when dharma is there, then artha will come. But if one's getting artha with, you know, getting the results of dharma as artha, people then tend to forget dharma because artha is coming.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is that something? Yeah. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. Right? That he. Okay. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. That's the meaning when it says, you know, about the tenth, one of the offense, which is that? Maybe the sixth offense? To consider the glories of the holy name is exaggeration. Because this is what it is. Right? Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. Right? A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. So the benefit gained will be less. Right? A maturely puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he's incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely, 1, high parentage, 2, good wealth, 3, high education, and 4, attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the... Right, so the disqualifications because you can get proud of them. If you have them and you're not proud, then you can use them very nicely. Right? Right? If you don't have them, then you can say, okay, that's an advantage. But then the problem is why don't you have them? From lack of piety. So then that carries its own problem, right? Because you tend to be impious in your, you know, worldview. Right? The material covering of the spirit's soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. Right? It doesn't belong to the body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Right? So, material life is there, it's creating a problem, then you want to, by proper treatment, by, you know, association of devotees, chanting, worship of the Lord, then you want to bring down that material fever. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign, as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. Right? So, in other words, here, you can see it says that a slight hindsight. Positive element, says grossly illusioned, right? So therefore, if we're just subtly illusioned, then we got a chance, right? You know. Next, Queen Kunti describes the mysterious nature of Krishna's pastimes. My lord, when you play the part of human being, your activities are extremely bewildering. You work though you are inactive, and you take birth though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. Although fear personified is afraid of you, your perturbed eyes overflowing with tears. When Mother Jashoda picked up a rope to bind you. 29.31. In the following purports to 1.8.30.31, Srila Prabhupada describes two ways the Lord's personal descents into the material world are bewildering to the living entities. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are not only bewildering, but also apparently contradictory. In other words, they are all inconceivable to the limited thinking power of the human being. Why? Because now if it just made logical sense, right, then people just out of their natural attachment to logic, then would be God conscious. So it's not, still not about God. Right? So the point is that contradictoriness then makes it so that there has to be that contemplation, there has to be the surrender. And then when one surrenders, then these make sense. Does that make sense? And even if they don't make sense, it doesn't matter, because you have affection for the Lord. So if you have a person that has great affection for, they do strange things. It's not that you lose affection. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Okay. Just take the example of putting kashundi on a rasgulla and eating it. Or putting a chili through the a green chili, whole green chili through the rasgulla and eating that. Or putting that and then putting the kashundi on top. Right? So, you know, friendships were not lost, even though it was strange.
Chili and chocolate.
Yeah, but generally red chili. This is green chili. Means it's not that you can't do, just like a chutney is sweet and hot, you know, and salted, but it's just, it's strange. By social convention, it's strange.
Also, the baby tries to absorb the food.
Yeah, yeah, the baby's absorbing the food, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And liberally distribute it, yes.
Yes.
The Lord is the all-pervading supersoul of all existence, and yet he appears in the form of a boar amongst the animals, in the form of a human being as Rama, Krishna, etc., in the form of a rishi like Narayana, and in the form of an aquatic like a fish. Yet it is said that he is unborn, and he has nothing to do. In the Shruti mantra it is said that the Supreme Brahman has nothing to do. No one is equal to or greater than him. He has manifold energies, and everything is performed by him perfectly by automatic knowledge, strength, and activity. All these statements prove without any question that the Lord's activities, forms, and deeds are all inconceivable to our limited thinking power. And because he is inconceivably powerful, everything is possible in him. Here is another explanation of the bewilderment created by the pastimes of the Supreme. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme in all circumstances, as already explained. Here is a specific example of the Lord's being the Supreme, and at the same time a plaything in the presence of his pure devotee. The Lord's pure devotee renders service unto the Lord out of unalloyed love only. And while discharging such devotional service, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord also accepts the loving service of his devotees more relishably when the service is rendered spontaneously out of pure affection, without anything of reverential admiration. Generally, the Lord is worshipped by the devotees in a reverential attitude, but the Lord is meticulously pleased when the devotee, out of pure affection and love, considers the Lord to be less important than himself. The Lord's pastimes in the original abode of Goloka Vrindavan are exchanged in that spirit. The friends of Krishna consider him one of them. Right, so that's one way. The other way is that he does all these amazingly, seemingly contradictory elements. Right? So here again, it's another act of contradictory, but one is just logically it doesn't make sense. And then the other one, it's that the emotions are what makes it work. Right? The one is that whatever he and his energies are non-different, so whatever he desires can happen. So therefore all contradictory things eventually end up in him. Because we don't have problem with two things being contradictory as long as they're not connected. Right? If they're too close, then we have a problem. But if they're distant, we don't have a problem. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say there's, one family in one city doesn't have any money, and in another city, the family has money. That's a contradiction. Do we have a problem? Right? Okay. Now, what if they're in the same neighborhood? Right? You have this big mansion, and next to it, there's this falling apart house. The lawn's not mowed. There's an old, pickup truck with no wheels on it in the front yard falling apart.
Some kids on it.
Yeah, some kids on it, you know. In other words, you understand the thing. Just keep. So, is that okay? No. What about if in the same family, some members of the family are so rich and others are so poor? Right? In other words, the closer it gets together, the more of a problem. Right? But the point is everything eventually goes back and is coming from the Lord. So that means everything is resolved in Him. So there's no question that contradiction doesn't function within Him. Right? At the same time as here, by emotions, He is the supreme control, but He's controlled by the love of His devotee. And even though he is the supreme, the superior, he enjoys being the junior. So these are the two bewildering aspects of the Lord's pastimes. Yes?
Is Kunti here bringing the point that to understand the Lord, the Master, that can be done from the one?
Yes, you could say, but I would say it's more is that it's that affection, that surrender to the Lord and affection is more important. Because that will make this automatically... Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just like this. For the wife, the husband, why is he valuable? Affection. But does he do things? He arranges, he does so many things. It means a lot of stuff. Okay, now let's take the baby. Does the baby do anything? Yeah. No, in fact, whatever you have, they make a mess out of it. You know, that fabulous, that furniture, that this, you know, your fancy sari, everything like that, it all gets like that. But they love the baby. You understand? So this is a kind. So affection makes it you don't worry about these things. That's the.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai 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 Jai